Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It's a new week. It's a new month. It's a new man. Jack Lancaster is here with me on the Andy Griffin
Show. Good morning.
Hi, Jack. How you doing, man?
Good, sir. How are you?
Back in America after spending a little time in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
How was it? Good? That's good trip?
Good, yeah. We had a really nice resort. We right on the beach, big old swimming pool.
And this was an all-inclusive, so, right? So you had meals or no?
Oh, yeah. You had meals, but, you know, after like the third day, you got to get off property and get something else, you know.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But it's fine.
Don't they have like eight restaurants or something?
They had three. They had the buffet, but, I mean, the buffet was, I think the breakfast buffet in dollars was like $40 a piece, so it wasn't cheap.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's pretty pricey. We had, when we went to Europe, to Amsterdam, they had a breakfast buffet, and it was pricey, too,
but
I think it was worth, it was like $38, but it was so good. Best buffet I've ever
had. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got good ones on those cruise ships, yeah, for sure.
So this was
especially those river cruises are nice.
Yeah, this was before we got on the boat. This was at the hotel.
Oh, okay.
I was like, man, I've never seen a, they had like 80 kinds of pastries.
Oh, wow.
Just the pastry. I'm not talking about all the regular food.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay, this one's worth it. So anyway, well, welcome back, my
Thank
friend.
You.
My friend, did you learn anything new down there?
Yeah, I learned that when you go into the ocean, sometimes you step on a stingray.
Yeah.
I learned that.
Did you have swim shoes on?
No.
No? And you got vampired by a stingray, huh?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Two holes.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like a little snake bite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but the nice guys in the place where I had a boogie board and they says, oh yeah. So this happens all the time. They all showed me their foot, the scars on their feet.
They all had them.
And then they wrapped my foot in a bag and poured vinegar they had a two-gallon jug of vinegar and leaves, some kind of leaf right there that's supposed to take the sting away.
Really?
Yeah, and it did. After about 20 minutes, it took the sting away. It felt like a wasp.
So it wasn't, like, extremely painful and didn't swell up and your foot wanted to fall off and all that?
No, not at all. It didn't swell up at all.
Oh.
And I bled a little bit and... You know, I pushed alongside of the wounds to make it bleed more when I got out of the ocean, just to hopefully, you know, if there's any poison push it out, you know.
Yeah.
But then they said, oh, here, do this. And so it was itchy, you know, but stingy like a wasp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're okay, man.
Yeah, I didn't go back in the ocean after that.
I don't blame you. In defense of the stingray, you stepped on it, right?
I did.
Yeah.
It was small and squishy.
And he was.
I didn't see it. I mean, I just felt it. You know, you felt the squishiness, and I knew exactly what it was.
Oh, really?
But I couldn't, you know, move my foot fast enough off of it.
So I'm not familiar. Stingrays, manta rays, they're related, right? Do the manta rays also have stingers?
Mantas do not.
They don't have
stingers. They're giant. I actually hooked one once on accident when I was fishing. And
what happened?
We broke the line.
Okay.
Thing was a monster.
So some manta rays.
It was like 6 feet wide.
Riding around with a hook still in them.
Well, these things, you know, they glide with their tips.
Yeah, yeah.
And so from a distance, it looks like it's a couple of fish out there. Or maybe a shark. You don't know.
Yeah.
And then you go over there, and, oh, it's a manta ray. But the thing swam behind the boat we were trolling, and it got hung up on one of our hooks. And so I'm pulling it in, and, yeah.
I never went to this school, but when I was in Victoria, Texas, my older brother was their nickname where they called them the Stingarees, which was just kind of a stylized way of saying stingrays. That was their mascot.
Yeah.
Only school I've ever heard of that was Stingarees.
Yeah. Well, these guys, one time I stepped on one and it didn't do anything. And I go, what is that? That felt weird. So I had some goggles and I went down and you could see. I'm holding my hands, you know, just a couple inches apart from the fingers making a round thing. So imagine about, you know,
the size of a phone.
8 or 10 inches. Yeah, phone. And that's how big they were. But there were several of them. I'm like, wow, I'm surprised I didn't step on any more.
Yeah.
So then I looked them up on the internet. And there's like four or five species down there that will sting you. Wow. And they're small.
Stingrays.
Yeah. Yeah, but the manta rays, what's cool about, like in Cabo, I don't know if this was in Puerto Vallarta, but one time we went down in the summertime in Cabo, there's a type of, I think they call them a bat ray, and they have a face that looks like a bat. And they're not as big as the manta rays. The manta rays can be like 6-7 feet wide. These bat rays are about 4 or 5 feet wide. But what they do is they jump out of the water and then they do a belly flop.
Hmm.
It's kind of like a mating thing.
Really?
Yeah. So in the afternoons, you can watch the ocean. All of a sudden, you see these manta rays just flying out of the water.
Very cool.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, Jack, back in the U.S. of A., mm-hmm. and none the worse for wear, except for a couple little holes in his foot.
Right, and pretty good sunburn.
Does it hurt anymore?
No.
It went away?
It went away the next day. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Jack, I thought we'd go over a couple of news headlines today, and then maybe we can comment a little bit on that. That young girl, her name was Elisa Petrov, we talked about her on the show before, was gone for 6 weeks, but she walked into a Colorado Springs police station last night and said, "I'm Elisa, and I'm safe, and I want to go home." So,
okay.
Yeah, so her parents are on her way out to Colorado Springs right now to pick her up, and... So the troubling part and the thing everybody was worried about, she had unfortunately initiated and been involved in some adult talk, I guess, with three different men online through some apps. And one of them she had arranged to meet in Las Vegas.
Mm.
She never showed.
Okay.
Last time anybody saw her, she was at a train station in Provo trying to figure out. They said she had asked several people, how do I get to Las Vegas?
Oh.
And so she was planning on going there, but somehow she ended up east instead of south and ended up
in Colorado Springs.
Perhaps. We don't know. They're still trying to figure out, because that was April 21st. It was June 1st yesterday when she was found.
Yeah.
That's almost 6 weeks of where was Elisa.
Yeah.
And nobody's quite sure where she has been, but...
she's not talking yet, huh?
Not yet. I think details will come out once she's reunited with her family and they get her back in Utah. Yeah. We'll probably find out some more details, but the whole thing is kind of...
Good thing she's showed up safe.
Yeah, and that's what the family's saying. You know. Look, we don't care what's happened or whatever. We're just so happy that she's alive and well, because too many times these stories end in tragedy.
Right, right.
So... good news there. The National Weather Service is warning of isolated flash flooding across southern Utah through Tuesday. Heavy rain and thunderstorms are expected to continue through Tuesday, with highest risk in slot canyons, dry washes, and recently burned areas.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was supposed to rain here. I don't know, at your house, Jack, over there in Washington. You're in Washington, uh-huh. right? Did you get anything? Because we haven't gotten anything over here.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, it's been kind of dry here. In fact, I was reading the weather and it said showers now, and I look outside, I'm like, no. You're a liar.
No, it's just cloudy. In fact, I can see the top of Pine Valley, and it's the fact that I can see it is the clouds are really high. They're over 10,000 feet at least.
Oh, you just brought something up.
What's that?
All right. That mountain over there.
Uh-huh.
Technically its name is Pine Valley Mountain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people, myself included, are a little bugged by the fact that you call a mountain a valley. It's Pine Valley Mountain. Wait, they're opposite things.
Uh-huh.
And so the other day I was doing a story about it and I called it Pine Mountain.
Yeah.
And I got lit. I got texts. People say, "Oh, you're an Indian. What are you, an outsider? Where are you from? We don't call it that." So I was like, okay, well, maybe I ought to. And so I started polling people, my friends, my family members. What is the name of that mountain? And I know the technical name, Pine Valley Mountain, but have you ever called it anything else?
I've called it Pine Mountain because of the valley thing kind of bugs. But if you look on all the maps, they call it the Pine Valley Mountains.
Yeah.
And it makes sense when you think about it, because there's the valleys on the other side, and these are the mountains around the valley. So it's Pine Valley Mountains. So it's the mountains near Pine Valley.
Yeah. And by the way, there's not one. There's mountains. You're right.
Yeah.
And by the way, technically, they're not mountains. My dad has some. My dad's a geologist.
Uh-huh.
He said there's some. I don't even know the word. It's a word beyond my pay scale.
So it's an uplift.
It's actually a volcano without the hole in the middle.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. It's an uplift. That's why you have like the Vail volcano, and the volcano's over by.
Yeah.
These are surrounding vents.
Yeah.
Tectonic process was lifting the pine mountains. It was venting around the base of it. So around, all the way around, even up in Grass Valley, there's volcanoes.
Did I deserve to get lit up for calling it Pine Mountain?
No.
Boy, but people
of course not.
Mad. People were mad. They're like, where are you from? We don't call it that here.
It's and like so, you said Zion or something.
Yeah. And by the way, I did a story this morning about Zion Williamson. That's how he says his name.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that's why I think a lot of people, when they say Zion National Park, they have to say Zion because of that guy's name.
I was in Chicago in 81.
Uh-huh.
And
81.
Yeah, I was a missionary over there. And there's a town north of Chicago along Lake Michigan called Zion. It's spelled Z-I-O-N.
Really?
Yeah. But all the locals back there called it Zion.
Zion.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So I think maybe he got that from that type of pronunciation.
I thought it felt like to me, though, before he came along, Zion Williamson, I felt like it was starting to turn, and any people nationwide were finally starting to call it Zion.
Yeah.
Never mind the S on the Zions. A lot of people still say that.
Yeah.
But they were starting to turn. And then Zion Williamson came along, and now we're all back to Zion.
That's like my last name. Yeah, mm-hmm. If you go back east, again in Chicago, they pronounce it Lancaster.
Yep, Lancaster.
Yeah.
There was a story in the news today about a St. George school teacher. This one kind of hurts my heart a little bit. And anybody that has that is a parent.
St. George?
Teacher? St. George, yes. Curtis William Payne of Santa Clara, 59-year-old, has been arrested again with 12 new counts of aggravated sexual abuse of a child. You say, well, man, he was abusing one child. That's really sad. But it's actually apparently a bunch of new victims have come forward since his original arrest back in January. Payne taught for 32 years in the Washington County School District. His victims are now aged all the way up to the age of 30.
So... is there a picture of him?
There is a picture online. I don't have a picture here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think he's the Payne that his father was my seminary teacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Just yeah. The whole thing just
Santa Clara.
I guess the thing I wonder about, I was in a position of authority years and years ago, and a mom came to me and she said, "Look, I happen to know somebody," and this was a church setting.
Sure.
She said, "I happen to know somebody who is touching children."
Hmm.
And she said, "What should I do?" And she said, "He's touching my child. What should I do?" I said, "Well, bust him. Let's string him. Let's get him."
Yeah.
And she said, "But he's an ecclesiastical leader, and I have a 5-year-old child that's saying this." She said, "I don't think, you know, if I go in and say my 5-year-old child has said this about him, I don't know that anything will happen." And I was like, for me, I was like, it doesn't matter. We got to get this guy. We got to,
right.
At the very least, raise the suspicion and get this to stop.
Yeah.
And so when I look at this Payne story, 32 years of abuse.
Yeah.
And again, this is all alleged. We're not convicting the guy, you know, but still.
I think this story came out a year or two ago originally, and I think now it's. That's why it's back in the news.
Well, January he was arrested. Four or 5 months ago he was arrested for the first time.
Oh, okay.
And then he's been rearrested this week.
Oh.
With 12 new counts.
And my gosh.
I guess the thing I wonder about, were parents or the kids too scared to say something because of that? Because he was the leader, he was the teacher, and they didn't want to say anything? And I don't know. It's a tough situation, Jack. I don't know if anything can
be done. Well, it's sad that it persisted for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to think to yourself that nobody will allow it to happen, in that they will, you know, I know if one of my children said that they had a teacher, I'd be at that principal's office that day, that minute, I'd be calling him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But maybe these kids just didn't say anything. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is, and I'm not trying to shame the kids that didn't say anything, but, you know, maybe if one of them said something early on, this guy would have been taken out of that position of authority, and maybe we could have stopped all these other ones from happening. I don't know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, exactly. All right, this one kind of flew under the radar, but I noticed this story, and so I wanted a little more information. So they finally, the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, which is what, you know, this
RBLM
means something else elsewhere, but here it's Bureau of Land Management, finally approved a land swap with the Washington County Water Conservancy District.
Uh-huh.
The BLM will reserve a plot of land that is part of the desert tortoise habitat. That's not the part I'm excited about. The other part is the Washington County Water Conservancy District will receive 929 acres in Warner Valley to put in a Warner Valley reservoir.
I thought they already did the land on that.
It was a week ago, but yeah, we can.
No, I mean, like, when I was in 14, 15 years old, they were building the dam out there.
Yeah, well, this is a little different thing. This is going to be a large reservoir. In fact, it'll be...
Did you know they already built the dam out there?
Right. This will be huge. This will be as big as Sand Hollow.
Yeah.
And deeper.
Yeah.
It'll hold more water than Sand Hollow. This is a pretty big deal, but in talking with Zach Renstrom and his people in the last few weeks, he's been like, yeah, we've been working on this deal for a long time. And as you know, anything with the government and the Environmental Protection Agency and all, it takes forever.
Yeah. But
they own the land now. It's their land now, and they're going to put the reservoir in. This has been 100 years in the making, by the way.
I believe
Warner Valley Reservoir.
Yeah. It's beautiful out there.
Zach Renstrom always says, look, if the one thing that hurts me the most is if we finally do get a good rain, and we may get one today. There's also supposed to be another storm coming through on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And to watch all that water go downstream to Arizona and California and Nevada, that just hurts me because that's our water.
Yeah.
And we're allowed to keep as much as we need, and we can't because we got nowhere to put it.
Right.
So now we're going to have another place to put it.
Well, they'll be, when that Tocqueville Reservoir gets done, then this one, and, you know.
Yeah.
That's going to be huge.
Chief Toker, by the way, is the name of the reservoir. I think we're just going to call it Toker Reservoir, but it's technically Chief Toker Reservoir. Yeah. Do you know who Chief Toker is?
Well, I suppose he was a Paiute Indian that the town was named after. Other than that, I don't know.
And he was very, very friendly and welcoming to the pioneers. He would trade with them, and they would work together. And, you know, we have this and you have that. Let's trade.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Native Americans back in the 1800s were not that way. But Chief Toker was very, very friendly.
Oh, okay.
He decided it'd be better to work with them than have them, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Right.
So. He actually has some very good reputation throughout the pioneer heritage.
In fact,
a lot of great stories about him. All right, one more news story. I thought this was fascinating. So Utah was named as the number one happiest place for seniors to live. The it weighed factors that included cost of living, average life expectancy, health rates for residents over 60, and number of senior centers per state. And they ranked all 50 states plus the District of Columbia, and coming in number one, Utah.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
I like it.
That's pretty cool. Idaho was second. Here's a list of the top 10. So Idaho, yeah, makes sense. Connecticut, okay. Delaware, yeah, all right. Nebraska,
Really?
Hawaii, okay, I see that because you want to, New Hampshire, Minnesota, and then number nine, New Jersey.
What?
I don't know anyone that has retired to New Jersey.
Wow. Ever. Florida wasn't even on the list.
No, Florida did not make the top
10.
Vermont was 10th. So,
but people go to Florida to retire. Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, but I think, if you talk about some of the rating, life expectancy, health rates, number of senior centers, I think maybe Florida just didn't, you know, it was per capita based on population and all that. Florida is quite a bit larger than a state like Utah and Idaho.
Right.
So
okay.
They may have more senior centers, but they also have a lot more people.
So. Well, I think Utah is a pretty great place to live.
It is. It is pretty great.
Especially this part of Utah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. And if we could just get a little bit more rain or snowpack.
Well... It's the doggone, we had the La Nina effect this year.
Yeah.
We need an El Nino. When we get an El Nino, then we'll have plenty of.
Okay.
And we're due to get one next year. I mean, I don't know anything special. I just know that usually the flip-flops.
Now Jack knows, being a guy somewhat versed in Spanish, that El Nino is a male child and La Nina is a female child.
Yeah.
That's all it means,
the baby.
Yeah. The baby girl, the baby boy.
The baby girl, the baby boy,
So, we have the baby, we have the baby girl and we want the baby boy right now?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The girls are always meaner to you. What the problem is.
Accused of being sexist here. We're going to have Mary Ann Hamilton on tomorrow to rebut everything that you said about girls being mean. Now, this has been in the news lately. We got three more minutes before break, so I wanted to get this in real quick before we have some other stuff planned after the break. But so Utah is one of two states to ban fluoride in water.
Okay.
We don't have, and St. George hasn't had it anyway.
But, no, we've never had it.
But the state of Utah and the state of Florida both banned fluoride in water. It's kind of a hot trend. Remember how woke, let's tear down all the statues. That kind of became a trend. It became hot. Well, banning fluoride right now is becoming a hot trend. And dentists worldwide, and especially in the United States, are like, why are we doing this? What harm is fluoride when it will literally prevent millions and billions of cavities in our country? And I'm actually sitting there scratching my head the same way. I'm like, I can't figure out why Ben, do you have an opinion? Do you have anything about fluoride? Why you would ban it?
I don't.
I don't know.
I don't know that much about it, to be honest with you. I think they think there's other effects that are causing, you know, the consumption of fluoride. Because if you get too much fluoride in your system, it's quite toxic. I do know that.
They did say if you get too much that it can cause your bones to actually be the opposite, uh-huh. be brittle. Yeah. And the same with your teeth. Yeah. But they were always really careful about not doing that. I mean, there's such a tiny bit. In fact, Doug Bennett, I think his name is, from the Water Conservancy District, said he was shocked at how little fluoride. They put in like a cup in millions of gallons.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so you really, you know, unless you drink, you know, 20 gallons a day, you're still not going to get very much fluoride. Yeah. So I was really surprised that that seems to be the hot thing right now is fluoride in water.
Well, it might be just the thing that, you know, you're getting something other than water. When you think you're getting water, you're not getting it, you know, and it's like, hey, you know, don't mess with what I'm drinking. This is, you know.
That's true.
Kind of maybe a libertarian type mindset.
They're talking about, you know, using reuse water is what they're calling it, as drink, purifying it, making it water that we would drink.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they do that already in San Diego and Las Vegas and Los Angeles and all these places. And, you know, I talked with a lot of the water experts and like, well, there's an ick factor in there. It said, unfortunately, somebody coined the phrase toilet to tap. he said that is, there's nothing further from the truth. It doesn't, he said, in fact, usually when they do the reuse water that way, it's cleaner than the water that comes from the river. But people can't.
Well, back east where those long rivers are, everybody's downstream of somebody else's toilet.
That's a good point.
You know, here we're not because there's, you know, well.
Maybe. Our rivers come from the snow mostly.
Yeah. Or there's springs, you know, or wells. But everybody's downstream of somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Be careful with who you're downstream from, I guess. All right. Let's do some weather. We'll be back more with Jack. I have a couple of interesting topics we're going to get to after this break.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
By the way, today is Declaration Day. What does that mean? Well, today is the day. Today, I think it's through Wednesday or Thursday. If you want to run for city council or mayor in Utah, today's the day you file.
Oh.
You're going to have the...
Andy?
No. I have... my interest for running for a public office is somewhere between 0 and -10.
Oh, okay.
I have no. And it's not that I don't want to serve my fellow humans. It's that these people take a lot of abuse that I just don't need in my life.
Yeah.
I have plenty of abuse in my life.
You take a fair amount of abuse here, don't you?
I don't need more, yeah.
If you say Pine Valley or Pine Mountains.
Pine Mountain, yeah. I have never gotten, maybe I will get one, I've never gotten a death threat. And, you know, I had Bill Hoster on, Mayor Leeds, the other day.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about Deidre Henderson, the lieutenant governor. He had her over for dinner a few weeks ago. She had like 20 death threats on her phone. People texting
the lieutenant governor?
Lieutenant governor of Utah. I said, Bill, well, have you ever? He said, yeah, I've had 2 death threats. I'm like, wait a minute. You're the mayor of a small town with less than 1,000 people and you get death threats? He says, yeah. I said, well, how much do you make as mayor? He goes, it's an unpaid position. I don't make anything.
Yeah.
And you're getting death threats. Yeah. Why are they, what are they mad about? He says, oh, you know, they couldn't build something they wanted to build, or they didn't like how the neighbor, you know, put up a wall or all this stuff. He says, they threatened my life.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I do not need that in my life.
Man, get a life, people.
Yeah, seriously. He said, you know, 99% of people are very nice, and he said, but there's that 1%. And you see them online, you know, the trolls that write stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And, Okay, I wanted to talk for a minute about fear. So okay. There's a kind of a fun article called The Wages of Perpetual Fear on the website freemansperspective.com. It kind of goes a different way than I'm going to go. One of the things he contends is that when we get afraid, when there's a lot of fear, we get stupid. He said people get really stupid when they're afraid. I'm like, yeah that's kind of true.
Yeah.
We do. But I thought it might be fun to talk a little bit about what scares us. Jack, what are you afraid of?
Well, public speaking, church speaking in church.
Really?
Sacrament meeting, yes. That's
really?
One of my big fears.
Have you been able to pinpoint why?
I was probably traumatized as a child.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, is it, so when you get up there, is it, because I always told my kids, because they used to say, oh, I got to speak in church. I'm so scared. I'm nervous. I say, look, preparation is the antidote to fear.
Yeah.
If you are 100% prepared, then you won't be afraid. And, of course, that's not completely true.
Yeah.
But it does help, and it helps motivate you to get prepared. But I'm guessing when you are assigned to speak, you're pretty prepared, right? You're ready to go.
Well, I don't write a talk and read it. I write ideas.
That's kind of how I do it.
And then bounce on that idea for a minute and then move on to the next idea and then bounce on that and try to bring it all together at the end.
Yeah.
So for me, the prep is really hard.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. It just is.
Have you ever done this? I remember writing a talk once, and I got to the point, and it said, tell blank story. Tell such and such a story.
Uh-huh.
I saw that, and I said, I don't know a story about that. I remember looking at that going, what am I supposed to say? It was blank, and I guess I thought I would remember the story, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's funny because a lot of people, I tell people I come in and talk to you on the radio and that, doesn't that make you nervous? I go, no, because it's just me talking to Andy.
Yeah, we're just hanging.
But, obviously there's thousands of people out there listening to us right now, and it's probably, it's a much bigger audience than what you have in a typical LDS sacrament.
Way bigger, yeah.
But it doesn't bother me at all. So.
Well, we're just hanging out.
We're just hanging out. Yeah.
Let's go animals. Is there, if you're around a certain animal, does it make you more nervous than others? I have one in mind.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm, toe to toe with a bear or something, yeah, I'd probably get a little nervous, but that's never happened to me. I try to think of a animal that I've been frightened of.
Venomous snake?
No, I'm very familiar with snakes. I grew up catching snakes all the time. My nephew, had rattlesnakes. He got bit by one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He was playing with it.
So I had a cousin.
He was playing with his so-called pet, Sidewinder.
Yeah. I had a cousin who liked to collect reptiles, but he always collected he had a boa and he had a python.
Yeah.
He had different, lizards and bearded dragon and all that stuff. And they never bothered me. I never got bit by one. They didn't bother me. But I still have a little bit of a problem with an animal that can kill me, especially in particular a venomous snake.
So the snakes around here probably couldn't kill you if for one bite. But
it'd make me very sick.
Yeah, they get you sick. You might, get gangrene.
I lose a limb, No big deal.
When I go hiking in snake country, and I go fishing a lot, and I like to fish in the streams, and the Santa Clara River up here between Vail and Baker is a really good spot.
Okay.
And there's rattlesnakes.
Gave it away,
I know, I just did. But there's rattlesnakes all over in there. You just go slow, and you listen, because they rattle. They'll let you know they're there. They don't want to have a confrontation if they can help it. And I've come across rattlesnakes, and my first instinct is to just jump. If I feel like I'm really close, I'll jump the other way. I don't think it's smart to stand there and freeze and let them bite you.
Well, the one thing they do say, and I did an article on this, was identify where it's at.
Yeah.
And go the opposite direction.
Right. Just get out of the way.
Because a lot of times you'll hear it, but you don't know exactly where it is.
Right. And I've walked across shale, piles of stacked stones, and there's a lot of gaps between it. And I heard a snake buzzing in there, and I just went 8 or 10 steps just to. I figured I couldn't tell, so I just went.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
But that doesn't scare me. I mean, we've actually caught them. I don't like. I won't mess with them.
No,
I'll pick them up with a long stick.
Yeah,
but they're not that fast.
Okay, what about a phobia type things. I know I'm not great with heights. I really have a hard time. Yeah. It's funny because I have no problem flying, even small planes, no big deal. I have no problem with 8 to 10 to 12 feet heights. But you get up over 20, 25 feet and between 25 feet and where an airplane would go, I'm not that I'm terrified.
I actually am a little scared of flying.
Are you?
Yeah. Commercial. And we, in this part of my life, we fly a fair amount, you know, three or four times a year. And yeah, that every time that makes me nervous. That takeoff. The takeoff makes me nervous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's the most dangerous part of your flight, the takeoff.
I would honestly say the landing, it makes me more nervous than the takeoff.
Well, you got to come down.
Yeah.
And there's no choice.
Don't come down too fast.
But if you lose an engine on final, you're on a glide path anyway, so you're fine. You may come down harder than you want to or faster than you want to. But if you lose an engine on takeoff, you're screwed.
That's true. that's a good point. You do not want that to happen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right. I was trying to think if there's anything. Venomous snakes kind of get me. I wouldn't say I've ever been face to face with a large, like predator, like a bear or something. I've been within a few hundred yards of them. And, you know, even on we took that train ride up in Alaska, the Klondike train. You know, I don't know if you ever did that, and we saw some bears there.
Yeah.
You know, they were, you know, 50 yards from the track, and I definitely wasn't afraid then.
Well, no, not from a train car.
Yeah. But I would say if I was close, if it was 20 feet away and hungry, I'd be like, yeah, no.
So one time we went to Florida, and the world's largest crocodile is in St. Augustine.
Really?
And they were feeding it. I think the thing was like 30 feet long.
Wow.
And it looked like a dinosaur. Mm. And it was, we were in the enclosure just had a tiny moat between us and where the crocodile was. And he was, I guess he'd been raised from tiny, and he'd been there for like 60 years or whatever. The thing was a monster. And then they got out there with a big old pole with meat on the end of the pole or whatever it was. Yeah. And the thing raised up on its hind legs and grabbed it. It's like what they do. That's how they feed it. So it's used to doing it. And I'm like, it's like that kind of freak. That put a different type of primal fear in my heart, you know?
Yeah. I don't blame you, man. There was a story on the wire this morning. A couple of motorcyclists hit a gator in Florida driving down the I-5 in Florida. They hit a gator. And they both crashed, and then at the end of the story it says, there's no update now on the health of the gator and how he fared in the accident. I'm like, who cares about the gator? Jeez. I don't know. Florida, by the way, had their first bear attack, their first bear fatality in 50 years.
Somebody killed by a bear?
A bear in Florida. So you got Florida, you got the world's biggest mosquitoes, you got gators, you got pythons now.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, there's bears.
Yeah, and panthers.
And panthers.
Yeah.
Florida panthers, that's right, forgot about the panthers. Yeah.
And skunk apes.
What?
Skunk apes.
Skunk apes?
Yeah.
I have never heard of that.
It's the Florida version of Bigfoot.
Okay. All right.
I've got pictures on my phone if you want to see them.
Yeah, okay. We're going to go. What's the one, the really scary one that everybody's always talking about? I was thinking about it in a second, but Bigfoot is alive and well, but not in Florida. There, it's a skunk ape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's get a break in. Yeah. We'll be back with more with Jack Lancaster here on the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Andy, 948 on KDXU. It's always good when Jack Lancaster is on the program. By the way, my dad said, Jack's an entertaining guy, but he sure can't whistle. I can see what he means. Anyway, welcome back. Thank you for being on the show. I was just reading about the gas right now in California is $4.85 a gallon, which is, you know, we were paying that a couple years ago.
But yeah.
They were a couple of years ago at $7.83 a gallon, and right now they have the highest gas in America. That counts Alaska and Hawaii, and they apparently pay, I couldn't believe this, almost 68 cents a gallon in state gas taxes. 68 cents a gallon.
So, and it's going to, but the thing is, it's going to get higher there.
It's going to get worse.
This is from Google. California is experiencing refinery closures.
Uh-oh.
With Phillips 66 and Valero both planning to shut down facilities. Phillips 66's Los Angeles refinery is scheduled to close by October of 25, and Valero's Benicia refinery is set to shut down by April of 26. These closures represent a significant portion of the state's refining capacity, potentially leading to higher gasoline prices and reliance on imported fuels. So Phillips 66 in March of 25 announced that it would close its Los Angeles area refinery, which processes 139,000 barrels of oil per day by October.
Yeah,
so they are suffering from government
overreach
in that they have the state of California has passed all these laws that say that they can't, you know, do the polluting or whatever it is they're doing. So they're gonna import gasoline probably from other countries now.
Wow.
Not oil, but gasoline.
Now, so. California, again, along with those high tax rates, they also have, what do they call it, low-something. Anyway, they have these low-carbon fuel standard system, and they are into, this blows me away, boutique fuel blends that are required in California only, and it starts to become quite clear why California's paid so much for gas.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom has been on the forefront of, we're going to switch to electric vehicles, and in fact, I think it was 2031, you will no longer be allowed to buy a combustion engine car in California. If you already own one.
Yeah, you can buy used, but you can't buy new.
They can't
sell new ones there. Yeah.
So, do they really believe this is the answer?
What they think, it's not about solving a problem, buddy. It's about virtue signaling, especially with the libs. I'm sorry. They don't care. They only care about showing other people how much they care. Does that make sense?
It does, actually, yeah.
And so this really is, in the grand scheme of things, when China's opening a coal fire plant every, I don't know, 2 or 3 months or whatever it is over there, and California, yeah, they're a big state. Yeah, they do all this stuff, but oh my gosh, it's not going to change. The air goes around the world.
They would argue.
They're worried about the carbon dioxide.
And I have a relative of mine who says this all the time. Well, you got to start somewhere. We might as well start here.
Well,
and then we'll spread.
You know, this is the same thing. Back in the Cold War, and I grew up in the 80s in that, everybody was protesting the U.S. nuclear deterrent. And I said, guys, we're not the ones that's going to shoot first. You should go to Soviet Union, go to Moscow and protest their missiles.
Yeah.
No, they won't do that because if they did that, they'd end up in a gulag in Siberia.
Right, or dead.
Or dead, yeah.
Or both.
So, gulag, then death.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're gonna hamper us. In the meantime, China's sitting there going, oh, okay, well, we'll sell you our solar panels that we're making because you won't make them over there because of the process of making a solar panel is so environmentally disgusting.
Terrible, yeah.
So we're going to make them and we're going to sell them to you. Plus, you're not going to use the oil. You're going to go to electric and you're shutting down your nuclear power plants, you know. And by the way, California, you know, you've got all these things that you're doing the wrong way. You want more people to buy electric cars, but then you're shutting down power generation for a non, you know, CO2 emitting source like nuclear. And you can then what's going to happen is what happened in Spain and Portugal last month or earlier. Last month. Yeah. Where the whole entire grid collapsed.
Yeah.
Because it was all solar and wind and the wind quit blowing and the clouds went over the thing and the thing just collapsed. And they didn't have any backup. People died because of that.
Yeah.
You know, people are walking out of the subway tubes in Madrid because the train stopped running.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a whole reason behind it, and it was because these countries are just so dependent on so-called renewable power.
Right.
Which is not reliable. It's not baseload. So we need more nuclear power plants over here.
Will we ever be able to, you know, I was talking earlier about the toilet to tap and the ick factor, and humans can't seem to get over the idea that I can't drink water that was in someone's shower or toilet or whatever. Will we ever be able to get over the nuclear thing, the all I can think about, and I'm not talking about me personally, but a lot of people, all they can think about when they hear nuclear is, number one, nuclear war, number two, Chernobyl, number three, Three Mile Island, that, you know, that we're all going to get irradiated and, you know, we're going to have three arms and there's going to be turtles with teeth. And
when you look at the total number of deaths that have occurred per kilowatt hour by each type of power that's been generated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at wind, solar, coal, gas, hydro, nuclear, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The fewest deaths that have occurred based on kilowatt hour generated is by far nuclear.
I was going to say, it's not even close, is it?
Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close. I mean, more people probably died building the Hoover Dam than have ever died as a result of nuclear. And most of the people that died in nuclear was the Chernobyl, because of the fact that that was a Russian-built graphite core, poorly designed, American reactors are not designed that way. They are designed with much more better fail-safes. So the whole thing is, you've got Hollywood, you've got the press that likes sensationalism, that likes to exaggerate things. And then you've got Hollywood that makes movies like The China Syndrome and gets people all worked up over it.
You get nervous.
Because they're the ones that are shutting them down in California anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think you can believe any of that. I think it's the safest form of power that you can get.
But we do. We get scared. We get nervous. We get paranoid, maybe.
Yeah. Well, if you're worried about CO2 output, that's your only option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
By the way, quick text. It was about gas. I think gas tax should be placed on pumps to show the consumer how much tax they are actually paying per gallon.
They do that in Utah.
I don't agree with it being hidden and made to look like the oil companies are the ones that are the bad.
Well, they do in Utah. I don't know about California.
Yeah, probably not.
They used to have stickers here.
Yeah. Do they still do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
One of the things I made, only a couple minutes left, but going up north, they still have snow in their mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They're not blanketed, but they still have a pretty good snowpack.
Yeah.
You look at Old Piney there, Valley Mountain. There's no snow on Pine Mountain.
There's a little bit on the backside.
Is there?
I was in Pine Valley last week, and there was some up there, yeah.
All right.
But it's not like, the south face, that's gone. Yeah.
So, I think that piece of news I talked about earlier where they actually now own the land to make that Warner Valley Reservoir is going to be huge. I'm actually shocked that it's not bigger news because it was kind of hidden and, page 7 of the newspaper.
Well, they bought the land. I don't know if they've got the water rights, they got the land. Now they probably maybe need to do some deals with some private landowners out there.
Well, that was part of it. That was some of the BLM land they gave to the BLM was private land that they were able to purchase and then trade.
Oh, okay.
And that's part of it. And again, I just go back to what Zach said again and again. It breaks his heart to see all the when we do get rain, all that water go downstream and we never see it again. Now we can save some.
Well, the folks in Vegas appreciate it.
Yeah, they do.
Because Lake Mead gets it.
Yeah, they do. As far as nuclear energy, I think Utah is on the fore. I think they're really working.
They announced that they're going to do something soon, right?
Yeah, they did. Governor Cox came on and said, we are all in for nuclear power. Mm-hmm. And they're going to build, you're used to the big giant cooling towers, right? I lived on the East Coast. I saw that there were three or four different nuclear power plants on the East Coast. They're not going to have these big giant cooling towers. Now, these are going to be smaller facilities, and it will be... I think hopefully people won't look at it and go, nuclear, we're going to die.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, did they announce where they're going to put them?
Not yet.
No. Okay.
No. But they have, I can't remember, it's my brain, sometimes I forget something. Uh-huh. There is a company that is pushing hard to get these smaller nuclear plants put together. And Utah's we're in. We want to be a part of Utah and Idaho both.
Yeah. So. No, it's smart.
We're on our way.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. I'm all for it.
Last minute here, Jack's going to tell us what a skunk ape is.
It's Florida's version of a Sasquatch.
So it's this big...
They stink. That's why they call them skunk apes.
Oh, okay.
They smell,
There's a Sasquatch in the West. Is it supposed to stink? Does it smell bad?
Yeah,
it
they have a smell too, yeah.
How could, if he's 8 feet tall and he stinks, how come we haven't found him? Where is he? What's he hiding from?
Well,
and how many are there anyway?
they think there's 3,000 to 5,000 across the U.S.
Wow.
And or more, but there is a breeding population. There have to be numbers of them, and they're mostly concentrated in the Northwest. Although there's many sightings up by Provo Canyon, up in the mountains there.
Okay.
There's sightings up in Logan area, in the mountains near east of Logan.
Is the abominable snowman related?
So that is a Yeti, okay. which is in the Himalayas.
Okay.
And
different species?
It's a different species, but similar in that it's an upright walking, you know, ape type. There's also they got a name for it. There's one in Russia, too. Almasty, something like that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they're all over the world. They've got one in Australia called a Yowie, and they've got one in China called a Yuren. So,
and we're out of time, Jack.
And that's, you know.
Next time Jack's on, we're going to talk Bigfoot. We'll be back.